Mr. Hunter, reel 5.
Charlie says you're going to be on a charge of stealing cookhouse, for stealing stuff out of the cookhouse, I says, well, I should have been discharged 2 weeks ago. I says, I'm not particularly worried now. I says, but I think it's grossly unfair that they, well, them drumsticks should go to other wards and not to the boys. I says, and they've had a nice feed on them now. So it was well worth it. But anyway, the next thing I heard, well, the next thing that happened, they got me up on walking sticks. And they sent me to Netley in Southampton. Convalescent depot. Now, funny story coming out. Well, I get to Netley and it's dinner time. And the nurse says, the canteen is down at Cardle, miles down at Cardle. And it's right on the banks of the river. And these big ships used to come up the river. Big passenger ships. And she said, they're all at dinner now. She says, salt service. Go down there and get yourself something to eat. All the stuff is down there, plates, knives and forks, trays. Any problems? She said, I'll be someone there to help you. So I get down to this canyon, and it's full of soldiers, young soldiers. All that have been hurt and wounded and accidents. And I'm in this self-service alleyway, picking out my food I want. All on me own, because everyone's sitting down having theirs. And this young girl at the end, she says, I'll bring that tray to the table for you. I said, thank you very much. Turned to walk to the table, and someone stood up at the back, right up the back of the room. You, Johnny. And it was Daisy Albright. They broke, they had her legs broken on this trucking career. And she come running down this corridor and threw her arms around me. And all the blokes in this canteen all cheered. Because she was honestly, you never heard nothing like, you, Johnny, and she come running around it. Honestly, you'd have laughed. Everybody took a mickey out for the right plonker. And I never see her no more after that. She was discharged. And I got better in the pool and doing these exercises. And I got discharged and I got sent home. And then I met Alan. And Alan and I made inquiries to find out where Daisy Albright is. And damn me, if she hadn't been living in a flat and it caught fire and she died in the fire. Whether that was done deliberately, or you done it deliberately yourself, I don't know. It could have been deliberate, or whatever, I don't know. But it was a shame. Daisy Albright died, after all that. And I think that comes to the end of my story. I came home from being discharged. I received a pension, 11 shillings a week. I got fit, and he gave me a green card.
What's that?
Disabled serviceman. What they call a green card. Nobody wanted to employ me, so I threw the green card away, and I got a job at Dunstable, at the Vauxhall Mall Factory, putting conveyor belts in. And then I went on a shipyard. And then I went in the electrical trade and I became an electrician. Then I became a foreman for Bulver Kilpatrick's. I travelled for 17 years with him. My leg blew up. We bought a guest house, that's it. And my leg blew up and I had a bit of, they call it osteomyelitis, disease bone in the left leg. And they scraped it and it went down. And then it blew up again, and they scraped it again, and it went down again. And he said, that may have cleared it. Touch wood. I haven't had anything wrong with it since, except for the arthritis. But they say it's still there. It lays dormant, and it could blow up again.
So that was because of your wound?
Yeah. Yeah, the shrapnel had turned the bone bad. They cut a lot of bone out, but... can't they? Don't show up on X-ray.
Come in.
And then, yeah, I travelled for 17 years, and now I've retired 2 years before my time because of my legs and my knees and my joints. Now I get an old age pension next year.
What do you feel now about having taken part in the Korean War and doing the national service?
As I said before, it was terrifying. It was frightening. But there were times, I must admit, there were times when the adrenaline used to run. There were times when they actually forgot all your fear, you know? I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I don't think I'd volunteer to go again. But I love the army life. I like the army life in camp. I like the comradeship and all my friends that I made in the army. And we had a great time. I'd have never had that time had I not gone in the army.
What is it that you love about the army life?
The friends and the friendship that I made, you know? All the mates that I made, all the people that I met. You know, and Alan Sandler, they're a good old mate. Danny Hickey, I don't know where Danny is now. About 20 years ago, I had a letter from him. He'd gone to New Zealand, jumped ship. He joined the Merchant Navy, gone to New Zealand, jumped ship, and gone under the name of Danny Mulhern. That was 20 years ago. Whether he's still out there, I don't know. Never traced him anymore, never seen anything of him. Alan I kept in touch with, Ted I kept in touch with, Tolly I kept in touch with, Ray Staff, Grimsey, and little old Sturman, I haven't seen him, although he's at Ipswich in all the wheelchair. And Tolly says to me, he often sees him.
Why, coming back to Korea, why do you think those Scotchmen in the Black Watch took that objection to the English reinforcements to start off with?
They didn't think that right, that Englishmen should be in the Black Watch. That was their excuse. But we were accepted in the end. When the stuff started to come down and bullets started to fly, you don't care who you got with you, long as they're on your side. Yeah. You could have been black, blue or pink, it doesn't make a difference. As long as you're on their side.
Did English and Scottish make friends with each other in the Black
Watch? Oh yes, definitely. Yeah.
What did you think of the enemy in Korea?
What I saw of them, all the youngsters, I saw, they tell me that the Aussies caught one of the patrols that used to penetrate the front lines and get behind the lines. And kick up Mary Hill behind the lines, and it took months and months and months, but the Aussies finally caught them. And when they discovered the leader was a woman, the only way they discovered she was a woman is that when they took the clothes off her, when they saw she was a female, she had so many bullets in her you couldn't tell her sex by looking at her, and she was the leader. They're very, very hard people. And if you're talking about 28 degrees and 30 degrees below freezing in the winter, and they got a pair of tennis shoes on, you know, and the way they get their gear is they'll kill an American, or they'll get a bunch of Americans, and they'll steal all their equipment, boots, socks, underwear, everything. And it's like we were issued with sleeping bags. And 3 weeks later, they come and took them away from us. And they were lovely, beautiful and warm. Get in and zip yourself up. But the Chinese were coming through the lines and they were catching so many people in the sleeping bags. They couldn't get out of the sleeping bag quick enough. They were killing them in the sleeping bags. So they took the sleeping bags away from us. Give us an extra blanket. Yeah. You find that you sleep, two of you sleep together. It's in the way you keep them. You used to stand at the trench like that at night. If you're cold, used to make your eyes water, and it used to freeze. And then you'd get ice on your eyelashes, and you close your eyes like that, and then you can't open your eyes because your eyelashes freeze together. So yeah, keep licking your finger and rubbing your eyes to open your eyes. You couldn't touch your weapon with your bare hands, because your hands used to stick to the metal. A pair of mittens, a pair of half mitts, a pair of gloves, and a thumb and finger mitten. Yeah, boy, it was cold. Yeah. But that's the end of my story, my memories. But it was an experience. I would do that. It was an experience. I could have well done without the Korean bit, but who knows what that would have been if I'd have gone to Malaya.
Well, what did you think of the cause in Korea that you were fighting for?
I thought to myself when I was there, you know, I think, well, what's this all about? This is all against communism, and I'm out here fighting for my flag and my king and country. It was king and country then, because then he died, didn't he? Then it became queen and country. But in them days, you'd looked at the Union Jack and you did respect the king and country and the cause, but that's not anymore, is it? I mean, I think if there was a war now, and half these people and these youngsters now, they just wouldn't bother. I mean, you'd call them up, would they go in or would they just...
But in Korea, you were supposed to be fighting the United Nations, weren't you?
We were, yeah. We're fighting the United Nations. That's the funny thing, though, is the United Nations had a documentary on the television the other day about Bosnia and places like that, and this guy said, the United Nations have never been to war. Well, that is rubbish, because they went to war in Korea. They drove the Chinese up Korea, the Chinese driven back down from Korea. But mind you, when they went to Korea, they were fighting the North Koreans. They drove them up, and then the North Koreans started driving back down again. And by the time they started to drive the North Koreans back up North Korea again, the Chinese had joined them. And they were fighting Chinese.
But did you have any particular attitude towards communism?
I didn't believe in communism. I never have done. Not like that if I ever will do now. But it would be an awful waste if I believed in communism now, wouldn't it? After having a fight for it.